Andy Zanka, the Youth Empowerment Program, checking out with Elton John's Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, from English in Action. Matching volunteer tutors with adult immigrants. You can make a big difference in someone's life while building a stronger community. The next tutor orientation training is at their facility at 33 Gillespie Drive in El Jebel, tomorrow evening starting at 5:30. For more information, go to englishinaction.org. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
Had a good week so far?
Today,
all it's 6 hours of it?
It has just been crazy. It started at 8 and it hasn't stopped yet.
Okay.
So, as usual, printers and new computers and shuffling devices and those kinds of things. It's been that kind of day.
Cool. That's good. Yeah, mine's been pretty, lots of variety. So
yeah,
can't complain.
Yeah, I like variety.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit because I think I'm gonna be hitting this really hard. I think I'm like extremely concerned about the role that social media has played in our election process, and I'm super concerned about this year. You know, for instance, I had a post come up on my Facebook feed today. This is a really good example of, you know, how important it is to check the source of a Facebook post, you know, especially when somebody shares an article with you. And, you know, I would think that Forbes magazine's a pretty reputable source for something. What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, usually they cite reasonable sources and say, mm-hmm. you know, they don't do a lot of analysis or punditry or anything like that. From at least with the articles I read, I don't read their articles often, but usually the articles that I do read from them, I do have a fairly good technical understanding of,
mm-hmm.
and I usually don't catch any shenanigans.
Yeah,
in most cases.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'll tell you the truth, man. When I saw Forbes.com, I was just about bought into it, you know. But the title of the article was NASA imagery shows that the melting, that there has been no decline of the polar ice caps.
Interesting.
Yes. And, but that was just too, it goes way too far against what I've heard in so many other quarters. And so I immediately, you know, first place I went is I'm like, oh my God, this has got to be on Snopes, you know? And, but I looked it up. It isn't actually on Snopes. First of all, the article that was being shared was 4 years old.
Right.
And then I basically found a counter article that came out shortly after it from a nonprofit, an environmental protection organization. And they basically had citations and quotations from literally dozens of members of the scientific community. And there's something about the language that they used as far as the polar ice caps. Mm-hmm. It was just a really good example of, why you should always check, you know, look for alternate sources and, don't ever take it. I mean, even if it comes from what you consider to be a really reputable source, everybody's got an axe to grind. And,
you just have to figure out what their set of filters are when they're writing the article, mm-hmm. and your set of filters as well. You need to understand both of those,
mm-hmm.
and be able to say, you know, and look at that and figure out the truth between the filters of the writers and the filters of yourself. And I think the self filters are much more difficult to see in many cases.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So anyway, if anybody has any questions, computer questions, they can give us a call at 970-963-2976. We will help you jiggle your cables.
Take apart your printers.
It's not hard to do over the phone. We can tell people how to jiggle cables over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
before you called, have you turned it off and back on again?
Exactly. So, but I don't know. I kind of enjoy asking people that.
Yeah.
I get a little smile whenever I say it, you know?
Absolutely.
So, it's kind of amazing just what a low-tech solution.
And that covers probably between 70 and 85% of my calls is like, have you turned it off and back on again?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times the answer is, well, no. And then It's like, okay, I'll wait on the phone while you're rebooting.
Let's start there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 out of 4 times it works.
Exactly.
And then I'm still on the phone, and then we'll go through the other 25%.
Exactly. So I think we should get I think I'll put into Dad a little wave file, you know, the sound of the guys from the IT crowd, and it says, have you tried turning it off and back on again? Mm-hmm. Actually, they say, have you tried turning it off and on again? That's what they say.
Oh, I thought it was a little longer.
No.
Colloquialism of it. Oh, well.
Okay. Looks like we got a call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Oh, hey, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Good.
We're good. We're looking. Are you coming to visit for Mountain Fair?
You know, I am not coming this year.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm going to Copenhagen instead. So, well,
God, that's that. Yeah. I mean, that's no substitute for Mountain Fair.
I know. I know. I'm going to really miss it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, yeah, I couldn't do both. So
okay.
Anyway, I wanted to mention a couple of things. One, I have my nephew out here who's going to Kennedy Space Center camp. To space camp.
Nice.
At the Kennedy Space Center. Right. His name's River Quincy. I wanted to give him a big shout out to
awesome.
River.
Okay.
And he's been a pleasure to have. And one of the things that he has on his phone, which I think is really cool, is called Google Lens. Do you guys have that or have
called
you used
Google
it?
What?
Google Lenses.
Oh, okay.
Google Lens.
All right.
Yep. And it used to be called Google Lenses. I think it's just called Lens. Let's see here.
Okay.
Where is
it? Oh, okay.
And what does it do? Does it make you like show you what you would look like if you were the opposite sex or something?
No. So you can.
So
you can point it at something and it'll do like OCR. So I've used it to.
It'll tell you what it is, like what the thing you're looking at.
Yeah.
Is.
So like I used it to pull the TV has a very very long serial number on it. So I used Google Lenses. I pointed my phone at the thing and it said, oh, this is text, and grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to cut and paste that into the email I needed to send with the serial number. I haven't tried it yet, but apparently you can, like if there's something like on the back of a computer that's in Japanese or Korean, you can have mm-hmm. it'll translate that in real time. So it'll figure out that that's mm-hmm. Japanese or Korean text and mm-hmm. then translate it to English.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to say, like quality
Google
control
Translate
checked by Kwan.
That.
Sorry, go ahead.
What's that?
Have you used Google Translate for that?
I did.
Yeah,
I've used Google Translate for menus.
Nice. Yeah, I've actually.
Right. It's really nice. You just point the camera from your phone onto the menu, and it translates it into English, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you better hope it's correct, right? You know,
well, you have to tell it what language, I think, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess my imagination just goes to a bad place. I just go, man, what if it, like, says that it's lamb and it's actually dog or something? You know?
Oh, geez. That's funny. Well, I will tell you what we use Google Lens for when he's here. We went to Rockledge Gardens, which is like a nursery, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
And they had different kinds of flowers, and he would point his Google Lens, his phone, onto a flower, and it would tell him what kind of plant it is, what flower it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went over to the butterfly area, and he pointed it at a caterpillar, and it popped up what kind of caterpillar it is, and what kind of butterfly it would look like.
Oh, that's very cool. I think I better, cool. I better get that.
Yeah.
You got to get it. And yeah. The other thing is that, like, I had a spider in my house, and he pointed at the spider, and it told me what kind of spider it was.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
I'm getting it right now.
If you have an Android, I think it might come with it. I have.
I had to install it on my Pixel.
Oh, okay.
But it was very easy. So I was just looking at the options it has. It has translate or auto detect to English, which I would assume it'll grab whatever. It'll try to figure out what it is and do that. Then it has text, which is, it's looking for text in the picture. And then there's auto. And then we have shopping and dining. For the presets to be able to help it kind of guess what it's trying to do.
Okay. I was wondering, will it read QR codes and barcodes and stuff, too?
I don't know. We'll have to try that.
I haven't tried it on a QR code, actually. Yeah.
That's a good question.
But, you know, when I went to Google I.O. several years ago, they were talking about image recognition, and they were developing it back then. So I'm not surprised about it, but to see it in action, I had no idea. I hadn't seen it work yet, and so when River pulled that out and he starts pointing at things, I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Like, could just spend your life pointing your camera at different things.
Yeah. So is it possibly just called Google Assistant, because that's what my app store is coming up and saying?
Well, if you have an iPhone, it's a little bit different. It's not a Google Lens on your iPhone. It's like in the Google app somewhere, and you have to click on like a little on the little camera or something in the text. You know what I'm talking about, in the text field code, like where you're searching.
Yep,
it's a little bit different on the iPhone, but I just tried it once on my phone because I was again looking for the spider, looking to see what it was, and it worked on my phone, but it works really well on his and then on his phone too. Everything gets automatically tagged, I think. He can tag it, too. But so he'll take a picture of a cat, and then he goes to his search for a cat, and he'll just type in cat, and all of his cat pictures come up.
So it looks like Google Lens is built into the Google Search Discover News app.
Oh, is that what
in
it
the
is?
App Store, okay. Yeah.
Ah.
So it's the Google Search Discover News.
It's telling me that I've already got it, and I just need to update it. So
yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, and you know, that'll by the come way,
in. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, by the way, at the Kennedy Space Center, the Space Camp, I think that they're doing a nice job of making sure the kids don't play on their phones. They're letting them take pictures while they're there, but they've been doing a good job because, like you said, sometimes I think that people tend to be on their phones so much and they forget what it's like to actually communicate.
Yeah, I mean, I just had this urge. I'll go into a restaurant and I'll see like a couple sitting across the table from each other, and they're both on their phones. And I just want to go over and like shake the guy and go, "Dude, you're sitting across the table from a really hot girl. You need to put that down."
Are you going to talk to her or not?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like, or are you guys sexting over the? at the dinner table. So, and usually not. No. So anyway,
I'm just curious if any of your audience has been using Google Lens and what kind of things, images have they captured, because it's been really fun actually using it.
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you how I'm going to use it is because I am constantly reading serial numbers off the bottom of MacBooks and stuff, and to have that like be able to shoot that with Google Lens and have it turn it in, basically take it straight into everymac.com and search the serial number, just straight from there. That will save me hundreds of minutes. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we talked about it today.
All right.
Anyway, I'll listen to the rest of the show. I just wanted to give you guys say hello and give River a big shout out. Okay.
Well, let me ask you something really quick. Have you ever like used those like scooters, like in the downtown, like in the urban areas, like the electric scooters that they have?
Are you talking about the Segways?
No, the one that I rode on yesterday, I kind of splurged for Father's Day and downloaded the app. It's called Bird. They're called Bird Scooters. Have you seen
those?
Oh,
no, I have not.
Yeah. They have them all over downtown Denver. And you just open up the Bird app, and if there's any available Bird Scooters nearby, they chirp. They make an audible sound. And you can go over and you just basically say start your ride, and you tap the start your ride button, and it brings up the QR reader, and you just read the QR code off the scooter, and then you just put up the kickstand, put one foot on it, give it a couple kicks, and press down on the throttle, and off you go.
Wow.
And Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, you know, all they ask is, like, when you're done riding it, you just basically leave it somewhere that's out of the public right-of-way, you know, so you, like, you know, put sidle it up to a bike rack or something. You just get it out of the, you know, get it out of the way. And then they, wow. when you hit the button that says end ride, they ask you to take a picture of it just to show that it's, like, off the right-of-way. And
very good.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and then I guess they go around. You can take them and leave them anywhere as long as they're out of the, you know, not blocking the sidewalk or whatever. You can leave them anywhere, and at the end of the day, they have a crew that goes around and picks them all because, you know, they're all GPS enabled. They go around and pick them all up and charge them up and put them back, you know, I guess in their originating spots, you know, so.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'll look for those next time I go.
Yeah,
to,
it
know,
was, we rode around for about 15 minutes. I think it's 29 cents per minute. It's a dollar to initiate the ride and 29 cents per minute after that.
Oh, terrific. So,
yeah. So, yeah, give it a shot. It's pretty fun. So.
Okay, I will. Well, listen, happy Father's Day, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. So I've been playing with Google Lens as well. You guys have been talking.
Okay.
So I've had it analyze some of the pictures I took camping this weekend.
Okay.
And it correctly identified my friend's dog.
Really?
Yes.
That's frightening.
With which is a Kangol, which is something that.
Oh,
is,
I thought you meant. Oh, this that.
Oh
that,
no! This is the dog. This is his name. This word.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It correctly.
Oh, I thought it came up and said that's Shiloh or something.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Okay. It came up and was able to identify that it was a Kangol. And then it was like, well, my second guess is a Mastiff, and then the third one is an Anatolian Shepherd, which are all
got it
very similar.
I wonder if it can diagnose medical conditions too. Say, that's a Kangol, and he's got a pulled ACL
on
his left leg, left front leg, or something. That'd be you wait. 2 years from now, we'll be talking about that.
I don't doubt it. There's some
yeah.
I've been reading some articles about. Using deep learning to do medical analysis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll take a patient's records and analyze them and say,
yeah.
And it's pretty, you know, it's like 90, it's usually better than a senior doctor at finding certain things.
Mm, okay. We don't want to offend any senior doctors in our listener base, yeah. But
the deep learning is learning things very quickly, and it's very interesting to watch.
You know what would be really helpful in my household is if Google Lens could identify a spider bite, you know, to heck with the spider itself, but just, you know, because my wife gets a lot of spider bites. You know, it's one of those things where, like, the more they know that you're frightened of them and they come and bite you. That's just the way it works.
I don't know the last time I've been bit by a spider.
I'm not frightened of them. They leave me alone. You know, but you know, it's constantly, do you see this black mark on my arm? You know, it's like, you know, if you could take a picture of that and have it go, yeah, you need to worry about that. Or no, you don't need to worry about that. Or, oh, I think you like bumped up against the, like, you know, the carburetor of your car and you got grease on your arm or something, you know?
Right.
So, but
what kind of car are you driving that has a carburetor? They're almost all direct port injection.
That's true. Well, I've been fantasizing about getting an old English sports car. So,
ooh,
yeah, that's
MG.
Yeah, you know, I think I had a really deep experience working on my old Triumph. So, just for nostalgia's sake, I'm thinking that's, you know, I'm going to go there. It's a car that needs a lot of care.
It does need a lot of care.
Yeah. So, But now you've got the internet, so you can get parts for it, you know?
Yeah.
And you could probably use Google Lens to take pictures of the part and say...
And go, what is this?
Where can I find
one? And then, yeah, what is this and where can I find one of these? Yes,
exactly. So... It's we got about 5 minutes left. 970-963-2976. If anybody wants to give us a call, we can help you out with your extremely quick to solve technical problem,
such as cable jiggling.
Yes,
or turning it off and back on again.
Yeah.
So I was looking before the show and found something that says Adobe's experimental AI can tell if something has been photoshopped.
Okay.
So they're trying to build a tool so you can run the image through the tool and it'll give you a probability or like it looks like it may even give you a heat map of what's likely been manipulated inside the photo.
That's really awesome. So no matter how good of a Photoshopper you are, it can basically detect that.
So. It sounds like it's very experimental at this point, but with more, as with any AI, at least currently, the bigger the data set that it has to work from, the more effective it's going to be, the better it's going to learn.
Cool. Yeah, because, you know, that kind of segues into, I was asking Matt if they had one that will help you identify a deep fake video, which, did we talk about deep fake last
week? I think it's been a month or more.
Okay.
We did talk about it a little.
So for those of you who don't know what deep fake is yet... it basically is, I'm actually looking at an article on TheVerge.com, and the keywords are deep fake AI fakes tech edit video by typing new words. And you basically can use this, there are some freely available pieces of software now. And if you can get a 2 minute clip of somebody talking, the software analyzes, certain, what do they call them? Phonemes. They basically analyze certain vowel combinations and, phonemes. So to create the fake videos, scientists combine a number of techniques. First, they scan the target video to isolate phonemes spoken by the subject. These are the constituent sounds that make up words like ooh and fa.
So it'd be phonemes.
Okay. All right. Phonemes. They then match these phonemes with corresponding visemes, which are the facial expressions that accompany each sound. Finally, they create a 3D model of the lower half of the subject's face using the target video. And when somebody edits a text transcript of the video, the software combines all this collected data, the phonemes, visemes, and 3D face model to construct new footage that matches the text input. So they can actually just type in what they want
the person to make the... And it'll have all the enunciation and everything and the movement. And
exactly. So that this is then pasted onto the source video to create the final result. So, one of the ones that I always think about is, did you ever see the video of the extremely angry Barack Obama kicking a door in after giving a speech? Have you ever seen that one?
I think I've seen the speech that's been edited. I don't know that I've seen the kick the door down part. Yeah.
No. He is just the typical, quote, angry black man, according to this video. And that's exactly what they wanted to, to portray. And do not believe everything you see on the internet. Once again,
it's getting even harder. It's getting, is what that means.
It's getting trickier and trickier. So we will continue to talk about phonemes or deep fake. And I think I'm even, this looks like a lot of fun. So
I was going to say, it looks like there's an app available. So I think I might have to download the app and start having some fun.
So like next week, if you hear Matt McBrayer coming on and, speaking in Korean, then you know what happened.
Yeah, change language. That could be fun.
Yeah. I don't know if it would work with that, actually, because you need footage of somebody speaking that foreign language.
Well, no, not necessarily. Right? Your mouth moves in a certain way to make certain noises or sounds. Uh-huh. So as long as you have the right phonemes and the...
Phonemes.
And the other part of the motion of the face, it shouldn't really matter. I mean, there might be... As long as there's not too much missing, or if there is, because some other languages have different you know, letter. They have sounds that we don't make in English.
Cool.
So.
All right. All right. Well, you heard it first, and you'll hear it again here on Geek Speak.
So. We'll be back the first Monday in July.
What day is that?
I think it's the second, but we'll have to look. I believe it is. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. See you the first Monday of
July. That is the first.
All right. See you then.